Just a brief announcement that our final hymn is in the blue book that you may have come in, received coming into worship today. It's just printed a little bit more clearer in the book than in the bulletin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts with the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthy magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ, was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Benevolent, merciful God, when we are empty, fill us. When we are weak in faith, strengthen us. When we are cold in love, warm us, that with fervor we may love our neighbors and serve them for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. You may be seated.
Empty be, O Father. A reading from Habakkuk. The oracle that the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not listen? Or cry to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law becomes slack, and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous. Therefore judgment comes forth perverted. I will stand at my watchpost and station myself at the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Make it plain on tablets so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them, but the righteous live by their faith. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read the psalm responsively. Please read the bold print. Do not be provoked by evildoers. Do not be jealous of those who do wrong.
For they shall soon wither like the grass, and like the green grass fade away.
Put your trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and find safe pasture. Commit your way to the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord and see what God will do.
The Lord will make your vindication as clear as the light, and the justice of your case like the noonday sun.
Be still before the Lord and wait patiently. Do not be provoked by the one who prospers, the one who succeeds in evil schemes.
Refrain from anger. Leave rage alone. Do not be provoked.
For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord shall possess the land. A reading from 2 Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, the faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed, then, of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, but it is now have been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher, and for this reason I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard until that day what I have entrusted to him. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me, in the faith and love that are in Jesus Christ. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. The Lord replied, If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave, who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, come here at once and take your place at the table? Would you not rather say to him, prepare supper for me, put on your apron, and serve me while I eat and drink? Later, you may eat and drink. Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, we are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Increase our faith. Is this a prayer request or a demand? Is this a desire to have a spirit where we are at peace and trust our God? Or is this demand to get something from God in our wrestling with God? To be gods ourselves, to be the ones in control. What do you think an increase of faith will get you? What do you think the apostles were thinking when they asked the question? Jesus offers some pushback here. Are the apostles, you and me, exhibiting that human notion of never having enough? Whatever we have, it never seems to be enough. Is Jesus calling out the apostles and saying that you aren't even using what you got? Think of what can be done with faith the size of a mustard seed. Are the apostles applying it here? Are we? It gets to the core of what we believe faith and prayer is about. Is it about us? Is it about getting what we want? Our relationship with God and a life of prayer is not a transactional relationship. If we approach our prayer life as something in which we expect God to do our bidding, we will be in for a rude awakening. And we'll walk away very disappointed in the end. There are secular spiritualities that invite us to manifest our own reality. Someone recently pointed out a tweet by prosperity gospel preacher Joel Osteen, in which he wrote, quote, are you praying any bold prayers? Are you believing for anything that's out of reach? You won't see great things if you're only praying for small things. End quote. Or end tweet. I suppose there's a fine line in trying to manifest what we want or demand in prayer and simply being bold in telling God what our heart desires. But underneath that tweet from Joel Osteen, that seems relatively benign. Seems very innocent. Is an understanding that you and I are simply entitled to whatever we ask for. Very much in contrast to how Luther approaches an understanding of prayer based on the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, give us today our daily bread. Luther writes, quote, in fact, God gives daily bread without our prayer, even to all evil people. But we ask in this prayer that God cause us to recognize what our daily bread is, and to receive it with thanksgiving. End quote. Those are two very different understandings of prayer. The former is just to get what we want, if we're bold enough to ask. The latter is to be aware of what God has already given you and gives you what you need to get you through the end of the day and would even give it to you without you asking. The former looks to God and says, what have you done for me lately, Lord? Give me this today. The latter looks to God and says, look at what you have given me, Lord. I am grateful. Two different understandings of faith and faithfulness as well. See, in the first four verses of Luke chapter 17, Jesus is offering some very heavy demands and requirements for discipleship. There's a warning not to cause the little ones, the most vulnerable and marginalized in the society of Jesus' day, to stumble. And then Jesus offers another difficult task in what forgiveness looks like and how radical that is. That's in those first four verses in Luke chapter 17. So a life of faith and faithfulness is not to be self-serving. You can see why the apostles are scared here. Increase our faith. I don't want to get in the way of someone who's the most vulnerable in society from coming to you. I don't know if I can forgive others the way you're asking me to forgive. But a life of faithfulness and faith is always keeping others in mind. The request to increase our faith must be to keep us on the path of the way of Jesus and not a self-serving path that many have offered through versions of Christianity that are nothing more than self-help books. Faith means that we are to trust that God is God and we are not. Faith is to trust that God, to trust that we know that we're not in control and that God is the one that we relinquish that control to. Jesus is calling us to let go of that need to be God and to follow him, to follow the way of the cross. When we want to be our own gods, when we're in awe of what's often called the theology of glory, which we often see in circles that promote the prosperity gospel, the theology of glory does not like the cross. It avoids it. It ignores it altogether. Jesus will not let us be enslaved to our pursuits of glory in this world and calls us to be part of a new kingdom through the cross that shows us a God who is hidden in weakness, in vulnerability, in suffering, and in the forsaken. The way of the cross shows us a God that the world sees and is like, that's a failure, right? The cross seems like a failure. But it's through the cross that God finds each and every one of us. That's the way of the cross. And Jesus is the slave, the servant that does what's required. He's the only one who can do it faithfully. One of my favorite passages in the scriptures is from Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, where Paul writes that Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave. Jesus humbles himself to be the obedient slave and servant for the sake of the world. God commands us to love our neighbor. That's part of us being obedient. And it's amazing that there are congregations that expect special rewards and privileges for doing what God calls you to do. In a model of church that is drawn to a theology of glory, in a model of church that has that's rooted in our glory and says, increase our faith, I've seen congregations, it means increase our membership. It means increase our offerings. It means increase our notoriety. I've seen congregations disappointed when they serve their neighbor and don't see how it benefits them institutionally. Now, for example, our own feeding ministries, the food pantry, our backpack ministry, our weekly community meal, the primary objective for all those ministries is to feed people, period. Living a life of faith and faithfulness is not looking for our own benefit, but to empty ourselves out for the sake of the world, to empty ourselves out for the sake of community, to be sent into the world to share the love of Jesus. We're simply doing what God is calling us to do out of obedience to our Lord. And there are ways other than just our feeding ministries that we're doing that together as a congregation. Now, it's not to say that those recipients of our feeding ministries are not welcome to be a part of our family of faith, because there absolutely are. And that requires another step in our obedience to God, in which we do not just serve our neighbor, but in loving our neighbor, we would develop relationships where they would know that there is a place for them here. A place for them here where they can be assured always that God loves them, and they'll always belong in this family of faith and in God's kingdom forever. But understand the difference here. When our obedience is just about a quid pro quo, it's all about us. Increase our faith, meaning increase our attendance, increase our membership, increase our offerings. That's not obedience to Christ, that's self-serving. But true obedience, true service to God, when it's not about us and all about God and neighbor, if in the end all that we want and need is to offer a meal, and that's all they want, then that's all there is. But if they want more, then by the grace of God, may we be a place to provide for them all that they want and need and desire to grow in a loving relationship with our Lord and Savior. When our hearts are changed, that cry, increase our faith, transforms each and every one of us. We desire to find rest in our Lord, and we put on our aprons to serve Him out of gratitude for all that we have. We do not have a place at the table, but it is the one who took on a form of a slave, obedient and faithful all the way to the cross, that gives each and every one of us a place at the table when we gather around word and sacrament and are given a foretaste of the feast to come. That is the love that we model. We're going to imitate Christ. We're going to be like Him and put on an apron and love and serve our neighbor and let them know they have a place at God's table. When we follow the way of Jesus, we're doing what servants do out of love. But God continues to give us more than we could ask. Our life of faith, our life of prayer, is to be aware of all that God has given us. And in our discernment, and in the call by the Holy Spirit, we pray how we could empty ourselves individually and as a congregation to continue to share that abundant love with all people, knowing that God has a place for each and every one of us, now and forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life of the world. Amen. As scattered grains of wheat are gathered together into one bread, so let us gather our prayers for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. We pray for your holy church in every place and for those who serve following the example of Christ. We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, Scott, our presiding minister on Saturday. Help them to live by faith and walk by the light of your gospel. God of grace. For parts of the world ravaged by natural disaster, relieve those affected by floods, wildfires, droughts, earthquakes, tornadoes, and hurricanes, especially those impacted in Florida. God of grace.
Hear our prayer.
For every nation, for those entrusted with authority, grant our leaders self-discipline in all things and inspire them with love for your people. God of grace.
Hear our prayer.
For victims of violence, abuse, and neglect, heal those who have been harmed and protect those who are vulnerable. For all who are sick or grieving, especially Tracy, Maddie, Scott, Marjorie, Pat, Andrea, the family of Vincent Fisher Sr., Pat, Debbie, Candace, Betty, Regina, Stan, Barb, Jerry, Phyllis, Cheryl, George, Lucas, John, Cindy, Leah, Carol, Mark, and our homebound. God of grace. For this and every congregation, rekindle your gifts within your people and inspire us to plan and work together that all may know your love. God of grace. Holy God, we pray for those in our armed services, especially Cade and Luke, and their chaplains. God of grace. In thanksgiving that you have abolished death, and for the saints who have died, especially we pray for Vincent Fisher Sr. Bring us all to eternal life with you, God of grace.
Gather together in the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, gracious God. We offer these and all our prayers to you, through Jesus Christ our Savior.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
You may be seated. We continue with the offer.
Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger in any way, that we may all know your care and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life. Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, you we praise and glorify, you we worship and adore. You formed the earth from chaos, you encircled the globe with air, you created fire for warmth and light, you nourished the lands with water. You molded us in your image, and with mercy higher than the mountains, with grace deeper than the seas, you blessed the Israelites and cherished them as your own. That also we, estranged and dying, might be adopted to live in your spirit. You call to us through the life and death of Jesus. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Together as the body of Christ, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. With this bread and cup, we remember your Son, the firstborn of your new creation. We remember his life lived for others and his death and resurrection, which renews the face of the earth. We await his coming, when, with the world made perfect through your wisdom, all our sins and sorrows will be no more.
Amen.
Holy God, holy and merciful one, holy and compassionate, send upon us and this meal your Holy Spirit, whose breath revives us for life, whose fire rouses us to love. Enfold in your arms all who share this heavenly food. Nurture us in the fruits of the Spirit, that we may be a living tree, sharing your bounty with all the world. Holy and benevolent God, receive our praise and petitions as Jesus received the cry of the needy. And fill us with your blessing until, needy no longer and bound to you in love, we feast forever in the triumph of the Lamb, through whom all glory and honor is yours, O God, O Living One, with the Holy Spirit in your Holy Church, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be
thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. You may be seated. At this time, I'd like to call forward our communion assistants and those participating in Children's Church this morning. Distribution of the sacrament will be continuous. I'll be in the center aisle with the consecrated hosts. There'll be two stations for consecrated wine. If you desire grape juice, that will be on the pulpit side. An usher will have trays of glass cups and will release you forward. Just take a glass cup as you come forward. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here, and he offers himself to you. the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Let us pray. Gracious God, in this meal you have drawn us to your heart and nourished us at your table with food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Now send us forth to be your people in the world and to proclaim your truth this day and evermore. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. For those participating in new members class today, we'll be meeting in the fellowship hall shortly after worship. As Christ sends us out into the world, let's recite the mission God has given us. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Thank you.
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.